Good morning, LinkedIn friends. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily. In the past, we've done the Fridays for a while as Let's Build AI Skills. But even before that, we were doing a daily show with Mr. George B. Thomas. So this is nothing new for him, and we welcome him back after a couple weeks off. And so we had the 4th of July and we had your vacation, and now 2 weeks. You come back in. Like, what's the feeling with AI? Like, as you come back, are you trying to just figure out what's happened, or you're just like letting it come to you and then you've.
A little bit of both. Like I try to pay attention to what's happening, but also I realize I've just got to use whatever is at my fingertips to do the best I can to get the work done that we have to get done, right? Like that's the thing about me, is there's this real interesting thing that I have felt happening where I am trying to set my own expectations to what I am able to learn and able to do, versus what I see a lot of folks right now is they are on a AI hamster wheel running as fast as humanly possible to understand the latest and greatest and maybe making too many pivots. But on the other hand, I see others that aren't making enough pivots. And I'm trying to find a balance, to be honest with you.
I think that's what I'm starting to find, because I can definitely feel like I'm on that hamster wheel myself. But when you start bringing a lot of this back to like first principles, it all starts to align, like in just this vibe like feeling way. I'm gonna keep using that word. It is the right word,
I guess.
because what that means.
Okay, good.
What
I'm not outnumbered on
no,
this, by the
no,
way.
you're not outnumbered, man. He said
What
it
that
yesterday and
means,
I let it go, but
gosh. What
you
that
can't keep
means
rolling
is
with it. You can't, you
you,
can't. Don't do
I'm
this,
going
Chris.
to,
Don't
you
be one
can
of those people,
control
man.
what George just described. Is he's got to do his best to control what he can control. And that's it. Like, because so much more than ever before is out of our control. In a way, it's impacting us though, more than ever, right? There's stuff like the news cycle, like that we have let ourselves like be impacted by that, right? I definitely had my moments back in the day where I just had to like shut it off, right? 'Cause you don't have any control over that. And when you shut it off, you shut off the impact at the same time, right? Now, as AI starts to just shove its way into all the tools that we use every day, you can't avoid some of that impact on the day to day. So I love what George said about like you've got to start from a first principles perspective, in my opinion. Like, this is what I'm able to do. This is what I want to do, right? And then kind of let it show up, as you kind of set those boundaries for yourselves. Just know that the boundaries are a lot better than they've been in the past when you enable AI to help you set those boundaries.
Do you guys have like pictures and stuff around your house? Like, does your wife decorate, and like put pictures up and little sayings and stuff? So we have this plaque in my house, and the further I've dug into AI, the more I deal with, coming back to 47 HubSpot updates, when you're gone for vacation. There's this plaque in my house, and it goes a little something like this. It says, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." And if you can, like, I look at that every time I walk in my kitchen. I'm like, yeah, I need all of that right now in the life that I'm living and the world that is being created around me.
It's one of the best first principles, I think, that we could adhere to for sure right now. Because in the meantime, Nico gets into a new AI-based browser.
Yeah.
Which signals an AI-based operating systems, which really requires you to rethink most of the things you do on a daily basis if you want to enable the value of AI. So wherever you want to take that, Nico.
Well, hang on, Nico, before you go, because I saw that this is the conversation that we were going to have today. And so I went to the website. I haven't downloaded Comet yet, but I do want to say that when I got there and I saw these words, browse at the speed of thought, I just hope everybody understands what that means, what it enables, and who you need to show up as if you are browsing at the speed of thought. Anyway, with that, I'll shut up.
So I was, we were curious enough actually to, because I was wondering, I'm like, man, how did I actually get it like before you guys? Because we all signed up at the same time. But then I remembered when we were messing around with Perplexity Labs a while back, and we saw that the announcement for Comet, and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I'm signing up. So got the invite last night, and thankfully enough, I did the install on my laptop, so you guys kind of get to see what the install is like as well, which, not gonna lie, it's actually kind of cool. They definitely put a lot into like personalization, obviously. Oh, I forgot it has sound.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like this, the speed of thought, the with intelligence. I just shared an article this morning about what the feed is doing on LinkedIn right now, showing us older posts because they're trying to get to like perfect relevance in your feed, not just based on it happened yesterday versus last week, right? And this personalized approach based on your active and direct behavior, but also on your inactive and, you know, just the things that you casually do, which, like, as George mentioned, the speed of thought, like a lot of your thoughts get represented by some of your actions and your clicks and the websites that you go into. And then the fact that you can do stuff inside of a system that is always kind of keeping track of that, we get to that where everybody, you know, it's not going to be this, oh, let's see what our ranking is right now. And then George does a Google search, and then I do a Google search, and then we see slightly different, you know, rankings, the same search because of our, you know, browser history or whatever. Like just taking that to the ultimate level where even beyond the results, the way that the results are presented, all the titles are going to look different. When we first click into there, it will be a different experience, even to the point where as a business on the other side, you won't have to design that experience like we've had to in the past. Right? Like that kind of personalization, literally individualized, might be a better way to put it, honestly.
Individualized. Anybody recognize that hand?
What's that, Nico?
Anybody recognize that hand icon?
That what? I'm sorry?
The hand icon that's controlling the screen.
I mean, I always felt like it looked like Mickey Mouse is what I always felt that finger looked like, but I'm sure it's something else.
That is our crew over at Manus. Who is partnered with Perplexity.
Ah.
That's why this runs so fast.
So what are we watching right now?
So this is just a demo of like how you can basically like delegate work essentially to... You know, it's funny because OpenAI also released agents yesterday, which was amazing to watch. this is very much the same thing, but so tuned up and like with not the virtual window. So you can go to things that you're logged into, right? And what's great, yeah, what's cool about it is the fact that, yeah, obviously it can go do searches for you and stuff, but you can also turn that into projects that you can then turn into labs that you can then turn into whatever. Maybe you want to do like graphics, maybe you want to do a presentation. You know, again, it was, I'm not trying to disparage. It's just like two tools of the same type came out and I've had experience with Operator. It's not the fastest thing. I've had experience with Manus. It is the fastest thing. If you're talking about like whose agent is faster, Manus is way faster than Operator is. So when it comes to Comet versus like agents,
yeah,
absolutely. Comet is way faster, can do things, you know, obviously way faster with it. Unfortunately, because it's desktop, I didn't set up my tab groups, which would make the next part of this really easy.
Yeah. Browsing with your voice is what we're seeing here.
Right. So, you know, you can launch voice mode.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, whoops.
I mean, this is the difference between like bringing a browser experience, kind of like what we saw yesterday with the agent launch from OpenAI, like where it's still an OpenAI interface and it's like, okay, you can see that it's using the visual browser. This is bringing the LLM experience into a browser. Browsers, which we are used to. And now that I see that voice activated button, like in the same place where I'm always used to going to get to, you know, the additional features of the browser, we've got our like bookmarks there. It's just the adoption level is going to be like immediate. Like once you download, it's not going to, the learning curve is just so much faster.
One second. Having a.
So that's why these companies,
I'm like, I don't know where my password went.
Like, that's why these companies go to the lengths of rethinking and reimagining their product. Like, Perplexity could have just done all of this inside of their, in the Perplexity app. Right. But it's a different space and you got to figure out how the app works. And once they design it into a browser, a lot less stuff to learn because we've been doing this for, you know, 20 years now.
So can we just pause for a second? Because I know Nico's going to talk about a bunch of cool stuff, but Nico just, well, he just installed a browser. He just logged in via Google. And if my eyes don't deceive me, the Google Chrome extensions flowed right into this new browser without even needing to think about it. And so like the reason I'm bringing this up is because if you're used to using Google Chrome as your browser, a lot of it is probably because you like the extensions that extend you as a human, the color picker, the ruler, if you're a developer designer, the, you know, snapshot that takes a photo if you're like trying to easily get an article through to compliance and need a JPEG or like something. So like bringing what historically has extended you into something that is going to extend you more, I think is something that needs to just be immediately stated of how quick and easily that was. And we didn't get 100 pop-up tabs showing us every dang tool that was just installed, which is the historical experience, by the way, because it ticks me off every time I add it to a new computer or whatever.
Here, this is how you're supposed to use me. Like,
yeah,
just let me have fun and explore.
Thanks. Like, been using you since 2008. Don't need to see the tab. Anyway.
And you know, like, no, I mean, like you point out something that is so crucial to me that I complain about almost on a daily basis, which is just make your software intuitive. Like, why is that so difficult? It should, I don't care what your software is. It could be something that's supposed to do with nuclear physics. It should actually interface wise. First of all, you should obviously have locks and passwords. Interface wise, though, it should be easy enough for like a 10-year-old to use. Right. Like, it shouldn't be so complicated that there's all these buried menus, drop downs, all this stuff crazy, right? Is there crazy stuff for Perplexity? Yes. And it's all out of my way. Right. So like, I know it's there. I don't have to go to it if I don't want to, but I can. But here's a little taste, which I find amazing in terms of like how you would digest content in the future. There's not even a single big blue link to stuff or whatever. I'm watching like top picks while I'm looking at top stories, while I can see trending searches, what the standout stocks are.
And right. This is so good. This is why, like, I don't think
Barcelona. People,
like the whole ads concept that like, oh, eventually ads will make it in because money talks, and like the ability to spin up like different experiences. If Perplexity were to allow ads into this space, it will have a much greater negative impact than it has ever had before.
Okay, yeah.
Because this experience is so great and so individualized that we know we'll have other options to go to, and we will leave like immediately.
Yeah.
Once we start to see that. So I think there's going to be a reckoning. I don't doubt that companies will try to do that, but the ones that will, if there is any success, because this is where I'm sure AI could help you figure out a successful way to start doing ads. So I'm not going to say it's gone forever, but it will be a dramatically different, like you will have to show up dramatically different in an ad to be considered to be a part of these experiences.
See, I didn't even have to, like, Arvin, I love you, man. Cause like, seriously, you really put like the tech user first and like throw everybody else to the side. And it's awesome. One of the things that like, I am nitpicky when it comes to UI. One of the things that I really complain about is when I'm searching in UI, I tend to rest my mouse on the right hand side. And what sucks is most sites will have a product there, especially on a carousel, and whatever, my hand will slip and all of a sudden I clicked on a product I didn't want. Now I'm going to see a bunch of ads about Tervis tumblers and I don't really give a damn about them. Right. And like intuitively Arvin's like, yeah, you know what? We should probably keep those places open so that right-handed or left-handed people don't like accidentally go over the product. They can just rest on the side without worrying about it. And then I'm like, oh, okay. These are clearly like tables and I can see that there's the click to go more. Right. But very much like I love of Netflix and HBO and many others, except for Prime, you suck so bad. Seriously. Oh my God. Don't even like, yeah, just go see my post about the Prime advertising thing. You'll know what's up. So yeah, without even thinking about it, I'm like, well, I wonder if you can flick.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Right. Like intuitively without having to like think about it or ask about it. I'm like, oh yeah, of course you can. Cause that just makes sense. Right. To be able to look at things in that way. Just like, the experience of using a browser in this way is insane by comparison to a normal browser. Right. Cause you're not inundated with, I mean, like the only advertising is basically the source of where the stuff is coming from.
Right.
Which is all you need.
And let's talk about from an SEO perspective, right? what we just saw, we didn't have to go to the site.
Mm-hmm.
And we can buy from here.
Yep.
Like those things, even in the most intentional of searches, right? Which are, a lot of people are clinging on to. Well, in those cases, we'll still be able to do the normal thing because that's how you transact. Nope. Like not anymore. You won't have to, at least. A lot of people will for a while, obviously. But once they find out that they now have this personal shopping assistant in the browser, what? Who's going to go to all the sites? Like,
I mean, I don't know. So I'm going to try two things that I actually haven't tried live demos. You know how it is. I know that it can open tabs. So like I was fooling around with it yesterday. I also know that it can send emails. I don't know if you got
what I got one of those emails.
So yeah, I'll show you what the email. Well, yeah, hopefully. Let me see if I have to log in or if I'm already logged in. Good. So I'll show you what the
A good comment from Jennifer here. This looks like what Yahoo looked like in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. When it was like really nice and clean, right?
Yeah.
And it was so easy to find everything you wanted and wasn't cluttered up with ads and was just super useful. Yeah. I remember that too.
And exactly.
All of a sudden it looks like it does now.
Right.
It looks like
when this stuff was first being built, it was all about the user and what they would want to click on, not what somebody who wasn't the user wanted them to click on.
Now it can't. So what are the limitations? It can't necessarily like get things. So like you, I don't know that I can do this, but I'm going to try. We'll see.
And what's super exciting to think about, this is where like, if you've spent time building out projects and building out custom instructions and building out your personalized experience with LLMs, that stuff, in this case, we're looking at Perplexity. Perplexity has spaces. You can involve that in this experience, and you can turn it on and off as you do it. I'm sure at some point the assistant's going to just, you won't need to turn it on and off, and the assistant will start to understand. It's going through your mind, George.
I mean, it's just, it's super interesting to me. I want to go back to something you said a little bit ago, Chris. You said, who would go to all the sites? And when you said that, my brain went, well, the sites are being brought to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to? So immediately when you said that, I thought of businesses that would be in fear. Oh, no, we're not going to be able to measure our traffic. Oh, no, we're not going to be able to measure our convert. Okay. But if the site, your site, is being delivered to the person and the person does purchase, you'll still be able to measure the revenue. Like there's a whole future that I think we're heading into where revenue rules.
Mm-hmm.
And the other metrics that we've always decided need to matter based on our job titles may not matter as much. Listen, don't get scared because I'm sure we'll figure it out along the way. But if this is the direction that everything starts to go. Because what we have seen so far is one does this, this does that, this does, and they all end up aligning into deep research, projects. Like, so if this is the direction that we all end up heading, I'm sure we'll figure it out along the way. And again, I go back to the serenity to understand the things that I can control. All right. But I go, we air joked, air quotes joked about this along the way. It's a whole new world. It becomes a whole new world if this is the direction we go.
Yeah. got to bring value. That's how, that's like, that's what I mean when if AI is helping every user, historically, advertising does not add value in like 99% of user journeys. So that whole like push agenda, it's going to be pushing right back on you. It's not even going to see you, right? And similar to the LinkedIn algorithm refresh, like all the companies, they want the most relevant experience possible. If that means they think the post from 3 weeks ago is more valuable than this other post from yesterday, they're going to try and show that to you instead. And the ones who show up and bring value every day are going to, we're already seeing them, you know, start winning. That's the stuff that AI is going to be, it's going to be value first at all costs. And when you can like pull back from all the metrics and all the performance marketing and all the stuff that SaaS has led us to developing over the last 25 years, when you just remove that, it gets really commonsensical, folks. So if you can kind of remove that bias and just think about it again from the user perspective, from the customer's perspective, y'all say that you're doing things from the customer perspective. This is that. Like, think about it. You don't like ads in your way, pop-ups everywhere, and like bad interfaces. And now AI is in charge of what that interface is going to present. And it's going to do a better job than any of us. You mentioned, Nico, like, why is it so hard to create better software experiences? Because it's been only humans figuring it out up to now. And that's where humans can, like, most of the time manage on one-to-one perspectives, and stuff gets built for the super users and, you know, the 1%, 2%, because they're the ones paying the money. Meanwhile, the experience, yeah, not the best for everybody else.
Yeah.
What are we seeing here, Nico?
Well, what's a little odd, I don't know if it actually sent anything to you guys. I'm checking my Gmail right now. It doesn't look like it on my end. So it's a little odd. Like, what I wanted to, you know, obviously, you guys know how it is. I love, you know, if something comes out, I want to push it to the max right away. Yeah. Wanted to see, like, how interactive could it be? Like, could it actually pull an image from its download cache and use that as an attachment for an email? Now, it said it did it, but it didn't actually do it, right? And so it's like, to finish, upload the image, and I'll go ahead and send it. But there's also no upload. So I'm going to try screenshot and say, here's the image.
What? You could just screenshot from the chat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no more, you know, let me hit this, that, and the other thing. No more snipping
tool?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Here we go.
And then it creates the email. Oh, my Lord.
And I can refine it if I need to, or I can just send it. There, email sent.
Go ahead. Yep, I got an email.
Yep.
It says, hi, Chris and George. Attaches an AI-generated image of a bear in the forest with a peaceful background. Let me know your thoughts. Best Nico. However, I don't see an attachment. So that's fun. So okay. I used the image to like write the email, but didn't seem to give me the attachment. But still, this is where I say, this is the worst it'll ever be. Like, if this is what it can do now, imagine what it'll do in 2 minutes from now, 2 days mm-hmm. from now, 2 weeks from now.
So welcome back, George. We got AI browser.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
And I got to tell you, if you do get this, voice mode it right away. And you will see why the future of computing is going to change.
I mean, listen, I love talking to my computer. And so this is just, and I love reading stuff anyway.
Well, thank you again. Hopefully this was as amazing as we think it is. I mean, come on. We'll be back on Monday. And we hope everybody has a great weekend. Thanks so much, fellas.
Thank you.
See ya.